Center City Planning Board meeting, July 12th, 2023.
He goes, oh.
I mean, there's an existing foundation and footings, so.
The July 12th, 2023 meeting of the Ventnor City Planning Board is now in session. This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice that this meeting was advertised in the press and the Current, and a copy of same has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. At this time, we will rise and salute the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And to every one of you, welcome this evening. Will we please call the roll?
Mayor Landgraf.
Here.
Jay Cook.
Here.
Lorraine Tolada.
Here.
Dan Smith III.
Here.
Mike Wiesen.
Here.
Peter Tucker.
Here.
Greer Gaskell.
Here.
Jessica Stilley.
Here.
Absent are Commissioner Kriebel, Tom Halpin, Roman Zabihutch, Tim Coop, and Wendy Bartlett.
Next on the agenda is adoption of the minutes from our June meeting. Are there any changes or amendments to said minutes? Hearing or seeing no requests, may have a motion and a second for adoption of the minutes, please.
I'll make the motion.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. You have one abstention. The minutes are hereby approved. Next item is adoption of resolutions. We have two this evening, which will be adopted jointly. They are P25 of 2023 at 105 South Nashville Avenue, and P26 of 2023 at 7 North Baton Rouge Avenue. Are there any changes or amendments to those said resolutions? Hearing none, may have a motion and a second for adoption, please.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Abstain.
One abstention. All those in favor? We have it? Everybody's voted? Okay.
Yeah.
Hereby approved. Thank you. This evening, we have one one application that is being postponed. Leo, could you handle that, please? On the application on...
Yeah, Calvert Avenue, 5402 Calvert Avenue, block 199, lot 10. Gregory Capps and Rhonda Fetter. They're not going forward tonight if you're here for that. They're going to come back in August, maybe August 9th, maybe the second meeting in August, but they are going to re-notice and republish. So everyone will get a new notice in the mail for that. So if you're here for that, I don't want you to sit here for the whole night just to find that out.
Okay. First application of the evening to be heard is that of Harshad Patel at 316 North Oxford Avenue. Could you please come forward, please? And are you ready to present your application?
Yes.
Okay. You want to do a preamble first?
No, thank you. No.
All right. You'll have to be sworn in, and anybody that wishes to speak will also be sworn in.
Why don't the applicant and the engineer each state your name and address or business address for the record? I'll swear you both in together. And whoever else. Are you with the applicant or from the public?
From the public.
You'll get a chance.
Okay.
Harshad Patel, owner of 316 North Oxford Avenue.
My name is Kishore Galani. I'm a professional engineer licensed by New Jersey State, and I'm the one who prepared the site plans.
Okay, can you each please raise your right hand? Each swear or affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you. So I don't forget, let's get Roger sworn in. Mr. McLaren, do you swear the testimony you'll give throughout this evening will be the truth?
I do.
Thanks.
Okay, you said you were an engineer licensed in the state of New Jersey?
Sukkudan.
You were a licensed engineer in New Jersey?
Sukkudan.
Yeah, licensed engineer. You were a licensed engineer in New Jersey?
Yes, I'm licensed by the state of New Jersey. Professional engineer.
In New Jersey?
Yes.
Okay,
so
thank you.
He wants to use that. Sir, we have a hearing device. Do you not hear well?
Yes, he's here.
would he want to use this device? He can plug it in and the microphones will go right into his ear.
He
turned on for him.
Didn't know we had that.
I do have the hearing aid, but still no problem.
No.
I'll take that.
Directly by the police. Yeah.
Can you hear us now, sir? Does that work?
Yes.
Good. Right.
By the way, are you the engineer for the zoning board?
Yes.
You are? Yes. I got the report.
Sir?
Yes, sir.
Hold on. We're going to start the hearing. We'll give you time. Let's go one more step. Let the record reflect that we'll accept the engineering credentials of this gentleman and we'll proceed. Now, what you'll do is you'll proceed with your application and you'll have whatever testimony you wish to give on the application presented to the board. And then after you're done, that situation will have a public portion, and then Roger McLernan will also have his report. Have you seen Mr. McLernan's report?
Yes.
Okay.
I got it yesterday morning.
Okay, fine. You have the report. Okay.
Yes.
So we're going to go. So why at this time, why don't you begin with your application, please?
I'm sorry, say it again.
Please begin with your application.
Okay. We have applied to the zoning board for C variances for block number 214 and lot number 14. We plan to demolish the existing house and rebuild the new house. There are a bunch of existing non-conforming conditions. The lot area required is 4,800 square feet. Our existing lot is 1,960 square feet. Thus, existing non-conforming. The lot width requirement is 60 feet. Our lot is only 24.5 feet. That's also existing non-conforming. The lot depth is 80. Lot depth required is 80 feet. Our lot is 125 feet, so it's conforming. The building setback, the front side is required 20 feet setback. Existing is 4.9 feet, and the proposed is also 4.9 feet. That's the existing non-conforming. Right side setback required is 8 feet. Existing setback is 2.8 feet, and our proposed setback for the new house is also 2.8 feet, existing non-conforming. The left side setback required is 8 feet. Existing setback is 5.7 feet. The proposed setback is 2.3 feet. That was still an existing non-conforming, but because of the stairs we put in, we only got 2.3 feet left on the left side. The rear setback required is 15 feet. We got 20.1 feet, so this is conforming. The building coverage is required no more than 40%. We got 36.74%. Site coverage is maximum site coverage is 65%. We are 57.0%. The variances are required because of the size of the lot is very small. It's only 24.5 feet wide, so it's very difficult to build a house on such a narrow lot, and that's really a hardship. That's the hardship is what we are going through to ask for the variances.
How about Reese's special? Do you want to move on special? Are you complete?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any reasons why you need the variances?
Because of the lot is too narrow to build a house, a low comfortable size. We are building about the same size house that was there. As far as the site coverage, you can see we reduced the site coverage because we got rid of the garage in the back. The biggest advantage of building a whole house is now the first floor is almost about 12 feet above the sea level, so we should never ever have to worry about the flooding. So the first floor is the garage only.
So you're saying you're going to comply to FEMA requirements?
Yes, it'll be 12 feet above the main sea level. Okay. The first floor. Living area is 12 feet above the main sea level.
Okay. So you're okay. How many parking places are you providing?
Two.
How many are required?
I'm not sure. I mean, normally, most families have two.
How many bedrooms? How many bedrooms does the house have?
Three.
Three bedrooms.
Three bedroom. Three bedroom.
So two required. So you meet the requirement.
Right.
Okay.
Before we didn't have any parking at all.
Yes, I know that. Was this house damaged in Sandy?
I'm sorry, say it again.
Was this home damaged in Hurricane Sandy?
To some extent, yes. I mean, it was repairable. It could be fixed, yes. But we decided to demolish the house so that in the future, if you ever have a hurricane, you don't have to worry about it.
Right. Okay. And there was one area you had it down to 2.9 feet on the side yard. And why is that? Why are you having to do that?
Because we were looking at a similar house, only two doors down on the left side, in the same block. It's nice to have an outside stairs. Otherwise, you got to go through the garage door.
The outside stair goes from where to where? Is it
to the first floor.
From the first floor to the ground?
Yeah, right.
And that's what, about 17 steps, 15 steps?
Probably. It's about, eight. Yeah, about 15 steps, yeah.
Okay. All right. Is there another place to locate that stairway?
We have a stairwell inside the garage, but then you have to go into the garage to go in the house.
Okay.
There's no other place to get into the house.
Okay. Board members, do you have any questions of the applicant?
Yeah. How long have you owned the property?
I owned last year.
Oh, so you recently purchased it?
Yes.
Okay, so you purchased it knowing that it was very undersized and that you would have to come back for numerous variances if you were to build.
Well, when I purchased, I was not aware of that need a major repair. So after I purchased, I decided to demo it.
So you weren't the owners during the storm.
Is that a phone that is? Can we turn that off?
Can you shut that phone off?
Phone number of tomorrow.
What, this one?
No. Your phone.
Cell phone.
This one?
Your cell phone.
No.
Maybe one time.
Thank you. Sorry, what was the question again?
Now, I was just trying to establish when you had ownership of the house. So this is not something you owned during the damaging storm that you had. Okay, thank you.
You are. I have a question. I know that you're showing two parking spaces, but practicality with a garage door normally means that nobody parks in the garage. Would you consider pushing that garage door back far enough so that you had a legal parking space outside of the garage, between the property line and the front of the garage? I mean, because we really don't gain anything net. You say there's two parking spaces, but although there is in reality, practicality says that they don't get used as parking spaces. It's the garage, and you don't park in the garage. And you know, would you consider pushing that garage door back in so that you had from the property line 18 feet? It seems to be a very deep garage.
Can I answer that question?
Sure.
As you can see, that this building is no more closer than the street than the existing building, including the garage. So we didn't make it anything worse than what was already there. Besides, the garage on the first floor supports the deck on the second floor, and a full bedroom on the third floor is supported by the garage. So I don't know how they're going to cover. If somebody has to cover, but the third floor bedroom will be coming down to the ground.
No. Put columns on either side of the driveway. We've seen this developed multiple times in the city, where you push that first floor, just the garage space, you push that back. You would have to push it back. Looks like
about
14 feet, and that way you can still have the second and third floor above it. It would be a covered parking space for the most part, and then you have the garage behind that one space. You understand what we're saying? Do you understand what we're saying?
Yes, I do understand, you know, pushing, you know, you have the second floor and third floor on a column. And
correct.
The garage doors are 18 feet back from the street.
Correct.
Correct. Which is a legal parking place.
Yeah. You know,
the sidewalls could be solid masonry as you're designing it with a steel lintel or something across the face.
Right. Right.
It would allow you to pull into that space.
You know, this plan is exactly the same plan two doors down that was done recently.
Sir, we're talking about your lot. We're talking about your lot right now.
Yeah, I understand that. We got the idea from the guy.
I know, but we're talking about your lot right now.
Right.
What tends to happen, our concern is what tends to happen is people don't use their garage to park cars in. So no parking is really being created. It becomes storage and no one pulls into their garage. If you have a driveway there, you'll use that.
Well, that's up to the owner to answer.
And that's why I asked him that question.
Right, they're pushing back the garage door. I have a, you know, stairway coming in the garage from upstairs. That might have to change the whole design. And
well, how about you push the house back about 10 feet then, too, so you lessen that front yard setback requirement.
I'm sorry, again?
You're not deficient in your lot depth. So your hardship doesn't apply to lot depth, meaning your front yard setback and your yard setback could be met. But you chose to push the house as far close to the street as you can. Push it back 10 feet, and then your garage door setback will be a lot less.
Okay.
You have plenty of room.
Sorry to push 10 feet, my whole house 10 feet back. Just,
yeah.
And then your garage door another 4 feet.
The garage door 4 feet back, and then that gives you the room to park the car out there.
This is all an asset for you and your neighborhood.
We're looking for a substantial benefit to the neighborhood that would allow a real parking spot as opposed to a perceived parking spot, which, I mean, we all do it, but
understand, I'm just
a
building
to make it right.
Understand, I'm building same exact, you know, using same exact area that is existing houses.
Yeah,
I'm not, you know, trying to either go front or forward.
We understand that.
But we have the opportunity to make it better.
So
we think this is a better plan.
The city is constantly updating. So your plan is we like to update things, so your plan will be updated for the new requirements in the city to make it more beneficial. That's all we're asking.
If I push 10 feet, my house 10 feet back,
no,
then I'm not.
We don't have to push the house. Just the garage, is that right?
No.
The whole house.
The whole house has to be...
The whole house goes back.
10 back, 10 feet, and the garage door 4 feet. So then I'm not going to have a backyard.
Do you park your car in your backyard?
What's the...
Absolutely not, that's why I'm...
Okay, well, that's the case. So, you've been given an opportunity. You can choose it, you can choose to do it, or you can choose not to. It's your choice.
If I could say something.
It might.
You're looking at, they're making suggestions to you that you may not have thought of. And if you didn't think of it, you should think about what they're suggesting.
Understood.
So if you want, take a minute, just you to discuss it, about a minute or two, and may give us your decision.
Okay.
What?
Roger, that would create a rear yard setback variance
for the steps, which is fine. The building should be all right. You have 10 feet to play with the building, but it's steps that improve.
I see a deck back there. I don't see steps back there.
Huh?
You're over the deck, yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
The building is 25 feet.
Okay.
It's 20 feet with the deck.
So you can push that back 10 feet. No variance required in the rear.
Well, 5 feet for the deck.
Five feet for the deck.
Because it's the second floor.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Is a better trade-off then.
Do I have to make a decision right now?
Yeah, you're
having your hearing right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to vote on it. So.
Do I have any other choice?
Give us one.
You can postpone.
You can postpone the hearing if you want.
Postpone the hearing.
We wouldn't make your re-notice.
Okay.
If you want to come back and try and adjust the plan a little bit, you wouldn't have to send out all the notices again or anything like that. If you think you want to go back to the drawing board, so to speak.
Is that what you want to do, go back to the drawing board? If you do, I think we ought to have a little further discussion.
I would suggest that. Reach out to Roger. He can explain to you, maybe sketch it out on a plan, and then you can see if you like that. If that's something you're willing to live with. If not, you come back with a different idea, or you come back with the same idea. But I'm telling you, if our board members are giving you suggestions, they don't like your plan. You're asking for a lot of relief. I understand it's an existing lot, small lot. It kind of fits into a hardship-type variance, but you're asking for relief from this board. In order to do that, you have to show special reasons, and I haven't heard them yet. Not special reasons. You have to show the hardship and no negative impact.
Right.
The negative impact here is no one's going to use that garage. It's a fact of life. Everybody fills their garage with beach stuff, bikes, everything else. No one uses a garage. So we're trying to get at least one space that'll be used on a daily basis off the street. You're not losing any on-street parking because there's a driveway there now that'll be relocated to the middle of the property. So you're not, I don't think you're going to lose any on-street parking. But I'm suggesting you take the board's suggestions to heart.
Okay.
Come back, rethink this. Because you're right, you're making a decision on a home you're going to live in. Right?
If you make the decision allowed to move the house 10 feet, can we proceed further or?
Yes.
Okay.
So he said to proceed further.
Okay. So you're okay with what was suggested, moving the house 10 feet back? It does create a rear yard of, you'll have a 15-foot, right?
15-foot to the house, and then you have
10-foot to the deck.
To the deck.
Right.
So the deck creates a rear yard variance, but it's a better trade-off than
right.
The front yard.
I'm going to push the garage back from the street.
Yes.
Really, that garage door is right there.
And that garage door's got to make sure we have at least 18 feet from the property line to that garage door face. So.
Yep. So my understanding is I have to push the whole house 10 feet back and the garage door 4 feet. Is that right?
Whatever gives you that 18 feet, yes.
18 feet in front.
Right.
To the property.
Is that okay to build the walls on the side or I have to have it columns?
You would build the walls out to the setback of the house, which would be, what, 15
Whatever.
Feet? Whatever's required.
Yeah. The side walls can stay with the house when you just move the whole thing back. The garage door is just inset into the building a little bit.
So
that's all.
Your required front yard setback is 20 feet. You're asking 4.9. If you push it back 10 feet, it's a 5-foot variance. So you get a 5-foot for the variance for the front and 5 feet for the rear because of the deck. So you would still need a front yard variance, but this is a better working plan than the garage door would be 3 feet back from that front wall. So your columns would be out front at 15 feet, garage door back 3 feet.
Okay.
You'll still get your support from your second and third floor.
All right, I'll do that.
Okay. We just have to add the variance for the rear yard.
For the rear yard?
Right.
For the deck.
Okay.
The building still needs, so the, okay, I can jump in here for a little.
Please do it, please jump in.
The electrical meter platform on the right-hand side, is there any way you can move that to the left-hand side? Because there's not enough room on the right-hand side.
You know, that's really a requirement, the electric, they would not accept the meter in the flood area.
No.
Because they don't have the meter flooded when the.
I understand that, can you put it on the side, on the left side? Because you have, you're proposing a three-foot platform on the right side, we only have 2.8 feet, so it won't fit.
So, okay, we can move this, move it on the left side while staying.
Move the leader to the left side?
Yeah.
Roger, I have a question on this.
Yes.
So Atlantic Electric rolled out all these new smart meters that are supposed to not need people to go there and read them. Why does he need this platform now?
Don't put one in, we'll find out.
I would ask you to reach out to Atlantic City Electric? Okay, I would talk to them.
If you have to service it though, too.
So, to see if you can move without the electric meter?
You need a meter, just.
Without the stairs.
Look to doing without the platform.
I know for sure, I worked for the electrical for 37 years, they would not accept without the platform.
And what's the purpose of the smart meter?
Not only that, I'm telling you.
They're charging us $5 a month to use.
No, your electrical inspector is not going to approve it, I'm telling you, I went through this for many years.
Understand that, but they sold the public on these smart meters that they're coming out with, that you wouldn't have to build these idiotic platforms to go up to a meter. And now you're telling us they're still going to make you build the platforms? That's Atlantic Electric for you. Frustrated.
You know, you talk to your electrical inspector.
I'll talk to them.
Well, in the meantime, can we put on the left side?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
The reason we did it because original was on left, right-hand side.
I know.
We understand it.
All right, thank you.
We have a chance to change things and improve it for you, so let's just make the improvements now. And we're updating, so that's the advantage you have here.
So let me just go through my report really briefly here for the benefit of the applicant and the board. Lot area and lot width, as the applicant indicated, they are existing non-conforming, so let's make those legal to put this house on that lot. Front yard setback, they were seeking 4.9, they've agreed to go to 15 feet. So the front yard setback to the porch would be a five-yard reduced variance also. They still need the side yard setback variances for the left and right. The left side is actually 5.7 feet to the house, but 2.3 feet to the steps, which is legitimate if you want the exterior steps. Rear yard setback, you had 15 feet is required, you're proposing 20.1, so yes, you do need a five-foot variance for the house and for the deck.
We call that, I'm sorry, we call that 15 feet or 14.9, or just call it 15 feet?
Just call it 15 feet.
Okay.
Your coverages are compliant, your building height is compliant, and I'll give you a word of advice on your plans. Show the base flood elevation requirements on your plans, on your elevations, because the construction code official is going to ask for that too.
Right, okay.
Show two parking spaces, one inside the garage, one out on the driveway, that'll be fully compliant. The one variance is actually not a variance distance from property line to garage, because you weren't counting the driveway as a space, now you are, so you'll be compliant with that. Landscaping, you're required to have 25% of your total lot to be grassed or shrubbed or some type of landscaping. Just show that on your plans that you'll be compliant. 25% is not much. 5% for the front yard, I think you'll fully comply with that now that you're pushing the house back. So that won't be a variance either. I think you have room for one street tree, and you'll be fully compliant with the shrubs. You need 13 shrubs total. I'm sure you can find a home for those. You'll be fully compliant. And just to adjust your roof pitch to comply with the 5-on-12, you have enough height to play with. And that's pretty much it.
How about the governor's strip?
And the grass governor, I don't think there's a lot of room there.
You're going to end up having that driveway in the middle.
Yeah.
Right.
There's going to be, is there room for a tree with the driveway?
I think there would be. That's the question I have. There's a driveway apron on the left side of the property that encroaches in front of your property. Is that going to stay? Is that going to be removed? And does that, how's that impact your neighbor to the left?
Right now, there is an apron over there, right?
Well, he has an apron and you have an apron.
I want to have a depressed curb.
For your new job?
And an apron. I revised the plans. I had a copy with me to give it to you.
Well, it's not shown on there.
No,
the old apron's shown.
I didn't give it to you yet.
Okay.
So, I was trying to give it to you, but they told me to stop it.
Well, there's more to add to it now.
No, I know.
So the old apron has to be filled on his property and the new apron created.
Correct.
Right. So you have to fill the old apron
right.
And then create your new apron.
Right. I also added a note saying that any broken concrete, you know, during the demolition, most of the concrete is all broken, all good. Anyway, we might have to redo the whole thing.
Absolutely. And we just want it all replaced
right.
At once. But we wanted to show it on the plan.
Right, okay.
Right. And what about the time to tear the house down? How many days after the approvals do they have? Would they have to post a bond? They're going to tear the house down. How many days after the approval do they have to tear the house down?
Well, they can't tear it down until after the summer anyway.
I understand that. So we usually have a time limit on that.
I don't think there's any restrictions.
Veterinary, I think you can. But
you can't demo in the summertime.
We know that.
You have to wait until after Labor Day. But I don't think there's a set time.
We usually ask a timeline to so many days afterwards or a bond be posted.
It's usually when there's a subdivision.
Okay. Yes, all right. I stand corrected. Okay. Anything else?
So you're tying your side yard setback variances to the hardship because the lot is narrow and it's not that wide. Is the board okay with that testimony?
So they're going to center it, right?
No, they're not going to center it because they need the steps. They need a wider left side to put the steps in. So if you include the steps in the house, they are kind of centered.
Okay.
But there's going to be building code issues with the side yard setback less than 3 feet. But that's not our purview.
They're going to have to deal with fire, not suppression, but fire.
The number of windows and all that.
Right.
But again, it's not us. I think with the concessions, I think we're complete on the concerns of the board. I mean, it's a 24.5-foot wide property. Yep. Not much more they can do with it.
Okay. Board members, your last in here. Do you have any other questions of the of our professionals or the applicant? At this time, I'm going to open up to the public. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this particular application? So if you guys could just stand aside, this gentleman's going to speak. You'll have to be sworn in and then make your statement, sir.
Just your name and address, please.
My name is Joseph Pagano. I live at 318 North Oxford, right next to the property.
Okay, and please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you.
I had a few things that I wanted to say, but it looks like the board has addressed that. The driveway that he's talking about. I wanted to show you guys a picture of 310. If he did what he wanted to do, this is what 310 looks like right now. They park in the driveway and they block the sidewalk. You got to walk in the street to get past the house.
We're keenly aware of that, sir.
Oh, I'm just,
right.
You know,
thank you for bringing it up. We appreciate
it. I'm glad you guys addressed it because it was a real concern.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up.
And thank you. And I just want to make clear, the meter, electric meter, is it going to be on what side of the house is going to be? Because that's my driveway and the step thing and all. I'm just trying to understand.
I believe the testimony provided is they're not putting it on the right side. They're going to move it to the left side.
Okay, I'm good. I have no problem. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming. Is there anyone else who wishes to make comment on this application? Hearing none, seeing no other requests, the public portion of this application is now closed. Do you wish to make any final comments?
Thank you.
Do you wish to make any final comments?
No, thank you.
You're complete?
Yes.
And you're in agreement with Mr. McLaren's report?
Yes.
You read it and you're agreement. Okay.
And if you have any questions before you do the compliance plans, let me know. We'll make sure it works.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Leo, if you could charge the board with a resolution in the positive, is they're all done?
Sure.
We'll have a vote.
Roger, the required setback for the rear yard deck is?
6 foot.
6 feet. So aren't they going to meet that?
They need variance for that for 1 foot.
They're going to be at 5 feet?
Yes.
But the house will be at?
House will be at 10.1.
And the required, is it a 10-foot rear yard?
15-foot rear yard. So they need a 5-foot variance for that house.
For the house, too?
Right.
And the deck?
Right. 1 foot for the deck.
Okay. All right. So, all right, it's a C variance application based on the C1 hardship standard, and then there was some C2 criteria as well. I'll summarize the variances and some of the conditions we imposed. So the lot area, they're at 1,960 square feet, 4,800 square feet required. Lot width, they're at 24.5 feet, where 60 feet required. The front yard setback, 20 feet required. They're going to push the house back 10 feet, so they're going to have a 15-foot front yard setback requirement. The same with the front yard setback to the deck and the porch structure. 15 feet, I guess 15 feet's required for that, so they're going to meet that at 15 feet. Is that correct, Roger? Because the...
For the
porch?
Yes.
Okay, so that does not need a variance. And there's the side yard setback on the left side, 8 feet required. They're at 5.7 to the house, but 2.3 to the stairs. On the right side yard setback, 8, again, is required. They're at 2.8 feet. And there's a side yard setback to the rear deck on the right side of 2.8 feet and on the left side of 5.7 feet. The garage setback is going to become compliant. They're going to be 18 feet to the front of the garage door from the front property line, so that's not a variance. Landscape coverage for the front yard, once they push the house back, that'll comply, so that won't be a variance. Total landscape coverage, that's going to now comply. They're going to get 25% on there. And then you have the two rear yard setbacks to 6 feet required for the deck, and they're going to be at 5 feet, and 15 feet required to the house, and they're going to be at
10 feet.
10 feet now. So those are two variances. So those are the variances and the conditions that we're imposing. Again, they're going to move that house back 10 feet so that they're going to rearrange the garage so that meets the 18-foot requirement. They're going to move the electrical meter platform to the left side of the house. They're going to provide the required number of shrubs and landscaping to get to the 25% per our ordinance requirements. Applicants shall show their base flood elevations on the revised plans. They'll label the two compliant parking spaces on the plans, and they'll provide for one street tree. The front of the property and the old driveway apron will be filled and a new one created, so that's solely in front of the applicant's property. And then we'll just say any other conditions set forth in Mr. McLaren's report that haven't otherwise been addressed, and the applicant will comply with any conditions it made during the course of the hearing, and they'll submit revised plans consistent with the approval and the conditions granted tonight, if granted tonight, to be reviewed and approved in Mr. McLaren's discretion.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second, please.
I make the motion.
Second?
I'll second.
Have a roll call vote and state your reasons, please.
Mayor Landgraf?
I think this is a classic hardship case for the positive criteria. There really isn't any other options. They've worked with us to allow us to grant the minimum relief necessary to actually rebuild a home on this property. I think it's consistent with the neighborhood. There are four or five lots exactly like this right adjacent to it. You've got four leading right up to that and surrounding it. So there are issues in that area with these small lots. The only other option is to not grant this, and they can't build a house there. So I support the variance request. I appreciate your moving the home back and working with us with that parking space. Trust me, I think it's going to work better off for you to have that space available. And I think, you know, this is an upgrade to our housing stock. The home's old, this will be a nice brand-new home, and I think that's an improvement, and that's a positive. I vote yes.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote in favor of the application. I think Mayor Landgraf has said a lot, but the whole thing is this a hardship variance? If the only other problem, we can't zone the property out of existence. So we're having to let them do, and we've also applied the upgrading to the community as well as solving various problems that have occurred, and I'm glad to see some of the neighbors saw the same thing. So that proves that people can agree on certain things and communicate. So the applicant has chosen to work with the board. The lot has just creates hardships here that cannot be done. The housing stock is critical that we upgrade the housing stocks, but we also is critical that we upgrade these homes for FEMA flood compliancy, because that also affects our CSR rating, which affects the amount we pay as insurance for everybody in the city. The better the rating, the lower our insurance policy ratings are. So every home we do that. So we just also poured one more car off the street as well. And that's the case. So we're clawing back everything one bit at a time, at the same time improving our housing stocks. The master plan is actually smiling right now and saying, nice job, boys. So to you, I thank you all for coming, and I thank the applicant. I vote in favor.
Lorraine Salata.
I vote in favor of it. We have a lot of undersized lots in Ventnor, and they always, I won't say create problems, but they demand creativity, and I think we made some really good solutions tonight, and I appreciate the applicant willing to go along with the board's solutions. I think it'll be a plus for your home. So I vote in favor.
Dan Smith III.
I'm also going to vote in favor of the application at this point. I think the concessions that were agreed to will satisfy your needs and will satisfy the neighbors' needs. And I think it will be a new home, which is a great thing, and FEMA compliant. And hopefully you'll live there a long time, and the neighborhood will flourish along with you. I'm in favor.
Mike Wiesen.
Sometimes applicants come in front of the board and they only think one way, and not thinking there could be a possibility of a second way. And I think this situation happened tonight, and I think all the suggestions made by the board members and the professionals made them realize how much better something could be. And I'm glad they listened and not postponed. I feel bad for Mr. Pagano because he was ready. He had a lot of stuff that he wanted to throw at us, and we got him. We answered him right away. So this has got his meters on the other side. But I'm glad this all worked out. We have a house raised. We're FEMA compliant, and congratulations. And thank you for listening.
Peter Taco.
Again, I have to follow Mike Wiesen. I do agree with everything else that the board has said. I also believe that it's as a board, it's incumbent upon us to not only approve these things when they make sense, because it does in this instance, but to try and make it better. We shouldn't, as I said in the last meeting, we shouldn't be repeating the sins of the past. If we can make it better by just pushing the house back a little bit, open it up, because eventually all those houses are going to get rezoned, and I think we have to go on a path to not do the same things again. And I think I appreciate the applicant's willingness to listen to what the board said and abide by, you know, our recommendations. So for those reasons, I vote for.
Rear Gaskell.
I vote yes. It's definitely a hardship case. I believe the way it has turned out, it's better for the neighborhood and better for the city. And I'm glad that they worked with the board, took their suggestions, because I was originally against it. Thank you, and good luck.
Jessica Stilley.
I'm going to vote in favor as well. It's a narrow lot, so there's certainly a hardship here. I'm also happy to see the improvement to the neighborhood, making it FEMA compliant, and then I also just appreciate you guys kind of listening to us and working with us and, I guess, inputting our recommendations to get that 18 feet to that garage door.
Board carries. Mr. Patel, welcome again for a new home, and that's the case. Mr. Pagano, the power of positive thinking. And that's it to you. And we move on. So, with that. So, next case. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, where is it? Let's see. Is 25 North Newark Avenue. You got it.
Peter. Good suggestion.
Peter. 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 Thank you.
Good evening. Brian Callahan. On behalf of the applicant, Karen Gottfried, this is the property located at 25 Newark Avenue, block 127, lot 8. We're here tonight for a minor subdivision. Just to refresh the board's recollection, we were here last October for a minor subdivision, came out to a tie vote, 4-4. Most of the rationale for the 4-4 tie, at least I thought so from listening to the board's thing, was Ms. Gottfried was not willing to tear down her existing home. Tonight, she's willing to tear down the existing home. We have a caveat. And that caveat is, she's been living in the house for 23 years. She's a local school teacher. Cost to demolish the house, move out while she's building the new house that she wants to move into, probably about a $50,000 expense. So what we talked with John Barnhart, Pete Weiss, what we would like to do as a caveat, if approved, we'd like to have it put on as a condition on the decision resolution and a condition on the Mylar and a condition on the building permits that she would only be able to be issued a temporary certificate of occupancy to move her furniture in when the property was there, and that prior to issuing a final CO, she would then demolish the house, move out of the house, move into the new one, and have a vacant lot. Getting rid of the existing house that's there would also eliminate, from the past experience, that house right now has an encroachment onto the other lot, has two side yard variances, has a front yard variances, and lacks landscaping and everything else. So we think by granting the subdivision, moving it over, and doing it. Now, we've changed the plan a little bit from the last plan around. Two neighbors to the rear did not like the rear yard setback. So we moved it from a 10-foot setback in the rear to a 12-foot setback. Had the opportunity to talk to Steve Imperiali, Dr. and Mrs. Miller, both of them are now, I wouldn't say thrilled, but both of them are supporting the fact that we have a 12-foot setback and we don't propose any rear decks off the rear. So we're here tonight. We'd still need lot width because they're 30-foot lots instead of 32.5. You need technically lot area, 1875, and we have a 10-foot front yard setback instead of a 12, and we're popping out a 5-foot deck. Mr. Barnhart will indicate to you that if you've walked down that street, everybody on the street is, buildings are closer to us than the 10, and their decks are closer to us on both sides of the street. So without further ado, that's what we're asking for. Let me have both Mr. Barnhart and Mr. Weiss sworn in. You're over here. Jump in there.
All right. John and Pete, just state your name and business address for the record. I'll swear you both in together.
Peter Weiss, 38 Uso Crest Avenue, Northfield.
John Barnhart, 400 Dover Avenue,
Jersey City. Okay, if you need each, please raise your right hand. Each swear affirm the testimony you'll give tonight will be the truth.
I do.
Yes.
And Mr. Chairman, I think we'll accept their credentials.
We'll accept their credentials as engineering and architect.
And planner,
and also a planner
from John Barnhart, planner and engineer, Pete Weiss, architect.
Since I have Pete right here, we have an exhibit that's colored in, Pete.
It is.
It's the same exhibit we turned in. I'd like to walk the board through the size of the house, the location of the house, what we plan on building. And for range purposes, keep your voice up.
Mike's working pretty well. What we're proposing is to take the existing 60-foot wide lot, split it down the middle into two 30-foot
lots. Can everyone hear, Mr. Weiss?
Yes, you got it.
You may have to pick up that mic or tell it off a little bit.
Karaoke, right. So we want to take the 60-foot lot, split it into two 30-foot wide lots, which is the same size, obviously. The house we're proposing is the same house that we had on the last proposal. So it's two stories of living space above the ground floor, which has parking and entrance and storage. The first floor has a living space and a powder room. The second floor, three bedrooms, two baths. The living space is a little under 1,800 square feet. The building itself conforms with all the zoning setbacks and requirements except for the front yard setback. We're requesting a 2-foot variance in the front for the building and the front deck.
Rear yard setback, side yard setback, building coverage, lot coverage, height, parking, landscaping, we all comply.
Yeah, I would say that the building coverage is noticeably under what's permitted and the landscaping is over what's permitted or what's required.
Not classified as a big mansion, 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath house.
These are very modest houses, yes.
Blend in with the rest of the neighborhood, the character of the neighborhood?
Well, they're modern in appearance, so yes. But in size-wise, yes.
I don't have any other questions for Pete. I'll call Mr. Barnhart.
Before he goes, is it FEMA compliant?
Yes.
And how many parking places?
FEMA compliant, 2 parking spaces.
And you have
each.
And the curb cuts, how are you going to handle those?
We have 2.
The curb cuts are for each house.
Okay. If there's any existing curb cuts, you fill those in and take care of it. And you're responsible for replacing any concrete that's broken in there?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Barnhart? Walk through the site and give a little idea of what's existing and what we're proposing.
Sure. So the plan I have up right now is the prior application that came before you. There was a lot of discussion that night. There was a lot of comments both directions. As Brian pointed out, we ended up with a 4-foot high, which by land use law is denial. And a lot of the discussion then, and this is, as I mentioned, this is the plan, was about the existing home. The plan that we had before you prior was developed to create a 2-lot subdivision on a 60-foot wide lot, which creates lots that are 2-foot narrower than the R7 zoning district permits. Our discussion then was that the 60-foot wide lot actually is, by your ordinance, supports 2 units, because if we were to build these 2 units as 1 side-by-side single-family attached structure, which is 2 individual residential units in the R7 zoning district, it is a permitted structure. Those lot sizes of 30 feet wide are permitted. That was our discussion, but our goal was to achieve 2 individual fee simple detached units for a couple of reasons. First, that is the desired living type that our client is seeking here. But second of all, we think it's the more appropriate building construction / reconstruction within this neighborhood. The neighborhood is relatively small lots, relatively modestly sized homes, and that is exactly what our client is trying to achieve the first application, and is also trying to achieve with the next application. This application had a number of non-conformities that we were proposing to leave on the project. We were proposing a lot that had rear yard setback variance that met all the other standards with regard to side yards, coverage, landscaping, all the things that Peter just discussed. But the other lot that we had originally proposed had a rear yard variance, it had a 0 lot line on one side, it had a side yard variance on the left side, it had 2 front yard variances for both the building and the porch, it had a coverage variance, and it did not meet the landscape. it was largely non-conforming as a result of subdivision, and some of the members of the board weren't comfortable with that, and that's how we made it where we did that even.
And we were leaving a FEMA non-compliant house on the property.
Correct. So the proposal this evening is to hopefully move forward with a subdivision of two individual lots at 30 feet wide, tear down the existing structure, eliminate all of those existing non-conformities and the non-compliant FEMA structure, and develop two, again, modestly sized, single-family detached units on the property. The lots will be 30 feet in width by 62.5 feet in depth. They will meet all the open air, I'm sorry, they will meet all the setback and coverage standards of the zoning district, with the exception of the front yard setback. The front yard setback that we propose is just to get a little bit more comfortable room sizes for this building, so we're asking the building to be 2 feet longer, essentially, than what it would be otherwise permitted to be. The reason we believe that's an appropriate request is because if you look at the block layout and how the homes are constructed on Newark Avenue, our client's current home is only 7 feet from the front property line. The home to the north of us is like 6.8 feet from the front property line. The home to the south of us is about 8 feet from the front property line, and the porch that goes to within a couple of feet. And you keep going down the block, and even the other side of Newark Avenue, the western side of Newark Avenue, many of the homes are built right tight to the front property line. So while we are very close to conformity with a 10-foot front yard setback and then a 5-foot setback to our porch, it is a 2-foot deviation from what the ordinance would permit. So a C variance is required for each of the proposed homes. Is it a hardship condition for those setback variances? Absolutely not. It's a condition that we believe allows the units to have nice-sized rooms, but does so in a fashion that still is very much in keeping with the pattern of development and the streetscape along the Newark Avenue. So why would the board grant a variance for undersized lots? And that's essentially what we're asking here. In this specific location, we believe it's an appropriate request. We believe that there are purposes going that are advanced to support that request. We believe that because the R7 zoning district, which is where this property lies, permits two units on the property that is 60 feet wide, it should take out of your mind the idea that we're proposing too many units on the lot. This lot is 60 feet wide and 62.5 feet deep, is allowed to have two units on it as a result of the conditional use standard in your R7 zoning district. We believe that this plan for this street at this location is the more appropriate request by having homes that are of appropriate size as compared to the homes around it, allowing our client to remain and living on this property that she's been part of and loved for so many years, but still live in a single-family detached structure. Eliminating a lot of existing non-conformities, eliminating a building that is non-compliant with regard to FEMA. All of those things go toward supporting the first purpose of the zoning, and that is promotion of general welfare. I think other purposes of zoning that exist with this application is, we believe this application clearly supports the promotion of appropriate population densities. Although we are asking for a lot of variance, two units are permitted based on this lot size in the R7 zoning district. We believe also that we are providing adequate air, light, and open space with this project. All the side yard setbacks will comply. As Mr. Calhoun discussed with the rear yard setback, we've modified that based on some concerns of the neighbors so that will comply. The building coverage, interestingly enough, is 12% below what is permitted. We're permitted to have 1648, right? Yeah, we're at 48%, sorry. And we are in excess of our total landscape coverage. So when you look at the fact that our side yard and rear yard setbacks comply, they're appropriately positioned as compared to our neighboring properties with regard to front yard setback, we are under in building coverage and over in landscape coverage. That really supports the fact that we are providing adequate light open space. So I think that the positive criteria is very well established from a number of aspects with this project. With regard to negative criteria, is there a substantial section of your zoning plan, where your zoning is? If the R7 district didn't permit
two units on 60-foot wide lot, and I would have a hard time proving that we are not substantially impairing the zoning ordinance. But because it does, we believe that we are not substantially impairing the intent of the zoning ordinance with the master plan. We believe this is an appropriate development for this location. We think it's more in character with this neighborhood than what would be a potential by-right project by a larger two-unit building. So for those reasons, we believe that that first prong of the negative criteria is established. The second prong of the negative criteria is whether there is a substantial detriment to the public good. You heard Mr. Callahan testify to, and I believe there's some neighbors in the room, about working with the neighbors in the rear to make sure that we are proposing a project that they can live with. One of the results of that was moving the buildings forward to have a compliant rear yard setback. We thought that that was an appropriate request to make that compliant. We believe that by pushing the buildings forward and asking for a minor front yard setback variance, it still keeps the buildings in absolute character with the surrounding development. The other issues associated with a negative impact on the public good is things like parking, or compliance with parking in the buildings yard. Things like traffic, it's two detached single family units. We're talking about very, very minimal traffic. Trash will be kept within the building. All the landscaping will be completely in accordance with the ordinance that is in excess of what the ordinance actually requires. So we believe that we have all the potential negative impacts with regard to the public good addressed. And this is a case where we believe that the benefits clearly do outweigh the potential detriments. By eliminating the overstructure that's there, that's not compliant in many regards, allowing our client to remain on the property, construct herself a home on the property to the south, and then tear down her existing home. What happens? She moves her belongings into it, tear down the existing home, and then be able to build a second home for sale.
Also, I'd just like to point out, throughout my 1938 atlas, these were designed as 30-foot lots to begin with. So they were 30 foot in 1938. And the reason I'm only guessing, it was believed, I think that the house had an addition put on it sometimes in the 60s. And that addition encroached into the second lot. And at that point in time, tax assessor consolidated the lot into a 60-foot lot. But they were originally 30-foot lots from 1938, continued on all the way through.
And one thing I do want to point out, Brian, that part as well. There are a litany of different lot sizes within our street, the adjacent streets on either side of us. But if you look at your current tax map, there are 30-foot lots all around this area. This is not an unusual condition to have 30-foot lots in this neighborhood.
Correct. I don't have any other questions, Mr. Barnhart. I would open up to the board.
Board members, any questions? Please continue. You're doing a great job. Keep going.
We're done, so I'd say you're open up to the public.
Okay. I have your permission. Thank you.
I don't think
you
ever needed it.
No. Would anyone in the public like to speak on this application? Ma'am, be sworn, please.
Hi. Robin Cassidy, 4 North Newark Avenue.
Ma'am, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Please.
Okay. I fully support the two single family homes with the off street parking and the green space, nice landscaping. I think it would fit in with the neighborhood and be a betterment for the community as well.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Please come up. Nice smile. Please be sworn.
Name and address, please.
Jane Yanega, 112 North Newark.
I'm sorry, your last name?
Yanega, Y-A-N-E-G-A. I spell it often.
And you're at?
112 North Newark.
112 North. And please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the testimony you'll give is about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Great, thanks.
I just also want to say that I support it. It's a lovely street. I think that the two homes and the sizes that they're looking at will fit nicely there. And Karen's a lovely person, and I just wanted to show her my support.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, sir.
My name is Mike Fausto. I reside at, do I have to do this? Sorry. 16 North Newark Avenue. I live directly across from Karen's. house.
And Mr. Festa, do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Thanks.
So I basically endorse this project. I think it could only add beauty and enhance the values of the neighborhood. And I'm exactly across the street from this project. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Sure.
My name is Tony Pasalacqua. I live at 5 South Newark Avenue, and I'm in full support of it. I think it's going to be an improvement to the neighborhood, and I...
You swear what you're saying is the truth?
I do.
Okay, thanks.
And that's all I could say. I think it's a great idea.
Thank you, Tony.
Sure.
How you doing? William DePenna, 3 South Rossboro, right around the corner. I'm all for it.
Swear to tell the truth?
Swear to tell the truth.
All right.
Yeah, I'm on full support. They just knocked down the behind me on Newark Avenue on the corner. They're building up every street, and I support it all. I think it's better for the neighborhood, better for everything. So I'm for it.
Outstanding. Thank you. Any other comment from anybody else? Since everyone is complete and there's no more signaling to come up, the public portion of this application is now closed. Brian?
Just think it's a win-win proposition. It's A, keeps a person who is a local Ventnor person in Ventnor subdivision. It gives the FEMA improvement, visual improvement. And I agree with Mr. Barnhart. I think that the two fee simple single family detached dwellings are a better planning alternative than putting the two attached in that particular neighborhood. So we would ask for your approval.
Now, could you explain to the board your this scenario that you were looking at as far as the timing of tearing the houses down?
The caveat that we're looking to do is there's an addition on this house right now that encroaches. That addition would be demolished immediately. Subdivision plat would be filed, building permits would be issued. And on those, and I would ask for the decision resolution, the Mylar, and the construction plans that would have a caveat that said that Mr. Agnesino would grant her a temporary CO when the house is at that point in time. She could move her furniture into it and at that point in time demolish the existing house and then get a final CO to physically move into the other house. So that's what we would be looking to do.
So there would be no encroachments of the existing house on
correct.
The new property line?
That's correct. These would be removed before the subdivision gets filed.
Okay.
Now, the only caveat I would add to your caveat would be is when the temporary CO is issued, that house must be complete. Because the purpose of the CO is for the demolition of the house next door.
Right, that's what I would say to Mr. Agnesino, right. That has to be complete.
But the wording should be in there that the first house must be complete.
Right. We don't.
Would a bond be required to do something like that? There's no encroachments. That's typically what,
yeah.
What you take.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's a way. I think you might be able to get away with not doing that.
Okay.
Where they can't get a CO until that house is demolished.
Full CO, okay. Yes. All right, that's fine.
Yeah. And say the house has to be demolished within 30 days of receiving the TCO of the new house.
Yeah, there has to be a time limit on the demolition.
The only, I don't have a problem with the time limit, but we're in the middle of the summer now.
Right.
So if I'm in the middle of the summer next year when the TCO gets issued, I can't demolish it until after the summer.
Well, then you have to have that word. It's just said that way.
Right.
But there has,
to be
a time limit.
We can work on the wording.
Right. Right. I have no problem with that wording. I just don't want to get caught by saying, okay, the TCO gets issued, you have to demolish it 30 days
in
the middle of the summer.
So it's got to be worded, but there has to be a time limit.
I agree.
So
you gave them 6 months to demo it.
Right. Yes. They got 6 months.
Pretty much
period.
Cover.
That'd be fine.
Right. Yeah. And that would be it.
That way, instead of tying up money in a bond, you're applying it to the house.
I would rather see that done.
Right.
So within 6 months of a TCO, they'll demolish?
Correct.
With the exception of if it's in a period where there's no demolition required, then it's extended beyond that period.
I think 6 months gets them around that.
Yeah, okay. 6 months gets around it. That's right.
Yes, I agree.
Okay. We don't need it. We can just word it 6 months, and that's it.
That's it for us.
We'll work together, get the correct language.
Now, are you complete?
We are complete.
Are you in agreement with Mr.